Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Psalm 19 is where we are. Let's pray together before we read the Scriptures. Lord Jesus, here we are. You have spoken to us in your Word. This is the Word of God. We thank you that you have given it to us, that we might understand you, ourselves, and this life, and its meaning. And we ask that you will open the Scriptures and the Psalm one more time for us, and help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. And now, what we're going to be covering today, verse 11. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Incredible psalm. And it had those three definite sections we've been spending these last 3 weeks on. The first section deals with general information about God and how the universe is here, and the fact that the universe and the earth itself, the entire creation and ourselves, speak to us about who God is. I mean, just look around. It's pretty incredible. The second bunch of information we have in this psalm is specific information about the Scriptures, how they are the specific information we need in order to live our lives and to understand. We covered that last week. This week is personal information. The information God gives us about ourselves here through David. This is incredible truth. This stuff is real. You know, people talk about, well, that's your truth and I have my own truth, so let's just all follow our own truth. That's just modern thought. That doesn't make any sense. There is law that exists. It's real. And when God reveals this to us, you got to see, this is what we call revealed truth. We couldn't have known this stuff if God had not told us these things. So we should take them really seriously. He spoke, and it is a great and precious thing that we have his word and we have these words to look at today. Because if you're at all like me, some days you look in the mirror after some of our decisions and we say to ourselves, what are you doing? It was Larry Gatlin, the country singer, said that he had this incredible cocaine addiction and he couldn't get any more cocaine that day and he was desperate for more. So he thought, well, he always did it in his bathroom, he always got the cocaine together to snort. So we thought if he plucked, maybe there are some still strands in the carpeting. And so he was putting them in a pipe. He was going to smoke them. And he said he looked in. He was on the floor on his hands and knees doing this. And there are glass doors on the linen closet in that bathroom. And he looked up and he saw himself. I mean, it's not a pretty picture. Sometimes we do that. Why? I mean, the Bible tells us the story of the great fall. But I want you to know we still live in fallen bodies. And if we can take this information we're going to get today and apply this to our lives, it's transformational. It really is, this personal information. First of all, there is this statement about reward and warning. Warning and reward. God, when he gives us his truth, the theologians call it propositional truth. That means if you follow this stuff, that's really good. And if you don't follow this stuff, that's not good. He says this, by them, by the scriptures, your servant is warned. There are consequences when we do not follow God's word, when we don't follow his truth. There are consequences to it. It doesn't come out well. We're told to not just hear what God says, but put it into practice. In fact, it's James who said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. We are warned. Listen, this is really important. It is really important. Want your life to go well? Well, we have to do it God's way. Now, are any of us here in this room going to do that perfectly? No, but we can do it significantly. There's no excuse for not doing it. The big storm in Florida that hit while we were still in South Carolina, the one that came into the panhandle that was so devastating. We waited a day, and then we got the edge of it on the Atlantic Ocean there in South Carolina. I'm telling you, that was awesome. We hunkered down. We ran away from the first one. We hunkered down for that one. And for a couple days, it just rained sideways and blew 60, 70 miles an hour. The ocean was awesome. But the people that got the direct hit, the devastation's unbelievable. Did you notice the pictures of the one house on the beach that looked like there hadn't even been a storm? You saw the pictures on the news. You want to know why? They built that thing according to hurricane code. Okay, so they built that, and they built that thing right. Jesus says, those who hear my word and do them is like the man who built his house on the rock. The waves came up and the rain came down, and that house didn't move. If we will not follow what God says, there's a warning here that you're building your life on sand, and any storm will knock you down, will hurt you. It's really important, that whole warning of it. And then there's not only warning, he says, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, get this, is great reward. You get rewarded for following the Lord. Okay, it's not like Pee Wee baseball now where everybody gets a trophy. Do you know heaven is not that way? I mean, look, none of us can earn our way to heaven. None of us are saved by our own works. If you think you're doing that, you're on your way to hell, okay, because you're not going to make it. Just thought I'd make that clear. Is that clear enough? If you think you're doing it because you're a church member or that you've done some good things and, oh, God will be nice to me because I helped this Children's Foundation, that's not it. We're already lost. We're already on our way to hell. And it was God who sent his son to die on a cross so that all who believe in him would have his blood sacrifice applied to their sin and actually be forgiven. Boy, that doesn't sit very well, but I just thought I'd say it. I'm your pastor. I'm responsible to tell you the truth. But once you know Christ, do you know following him, there is great reward. Everybody doesn't get the same trophy in heaven like participation trophies in Pee Wee baseball. Drives me nuts. And when I go to those things, I keep score too. Oh, we don't keep scores. It's about having fun. Have fun. It's about winning and losing, isn't it? Come on. Come on. They need to learn. Life is depressing. They need to lose a few times. You know, it's okay. It'll help them. They're all not little flowers, you know? We're all blooming idiots. That's actually. And they need to learn that early. So there is great reward. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians. He said that our works are going to be tested when we get to heaven, the why we did what we did. And if we did it for the right reasons, it said that person will receive reward. Are you kidding me? Like, I mean, I just think that is amazing. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about all the acts of religious acts and compassionate acts and how to do them properly so that you have God as your audience while you're doing it. Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm not. When you pray, don't go around like the hypocrites do on the street corner and make their prayers in public so everybody will think they're spiritual. You go into your closet, you shut that door and you talk. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you openly. It goes on, and the giving of gifts to the poor. Don't do it in public. Do it privately. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't do that. Because there is reward in doing it because of him. Do you see that? So we're told to do what the scripture says. Not because we're afraid, but because we love him. And if we do it because we love him, there is reward in heaven. To me, that's awesome. Talk about a retirement program. You know, everybody works toward, and you should be working toward, your older age and putting money away and living less on what you make and saving and investing. Those are all very important principles that are biblical, leaving a heritage for your family in that sense, too. And we do that. We all wonder what will happen to it all, right? I mean, as you work, you do your best and you save. Let me tell you what you send on to heaven is eternal and cannot be taken away. You know, Jesus talks about giving and says that those rewards go on to heaven where rust and moth or thieves can't get to. Stuff won't be destroyed. It's going to be eternal. Isn't that something? It's not all the same. I mean, the way we live our lives matter. Input and outcome kind of thing, you know? So, and Jesus said about those who are his openly in this world and confess him openly. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful reward. So there's warning and reward, but we have problems. The first problem that we've got here is that we have a perception problem. If you'll notice, verse 12, this is all well and good, Lord, but who can discern his errors? A better way to put it is, who can even discern his own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. You notice what the psalmist said? Look, I know I'm supposed to be doing all this stuff, but I have got blind spots all over in my life that I'm not seeing clearly. You know, it's so wonderful that the Lord doesn't show us how messed up we really are all at once because we all have a nervous breakdown, okay? It's nice that he just kind of brings up a little thing at a time to help us along because he's gracious and kind. But we have to understand that we have a perception problem. You should never drive with me. I scare my friends to death. You want to know why? I change lanes without looking sometimes. And, it, you know, I do look, but I bought my dad's van out of Florida, Dodge van. I liked it. Nice vehicle. But anyhow, it had blind spot in it when you just couldn't, like, really see. And I would kind of, sort of look. But I got honked at so many times because I'm changing lanes with somebody there. It's scary. One day, we were down in South Carolina. My buddy John. You'd love John. He's a big old southern boy from North Carolina. And he said, well, Tom, I bought Kathy a new car. Come on, go for a ride. You're going to like this car. So I like John, so get to spend some time with John. So we went on to Highway 31. Two things impressed me incredibly about that car. First of all, it's got that radar that they use to see the car in front of you when you're on cruise control. You're on cruise control, you're going along, and I know a lot of cars have it now, but you have to understand, to me, this is all new science because I drive 10-year-old cars all the time, so I'm not there yet. I'll be there in 10 years, but I'm not there now. So anyhow, So you come up on a car on the expressway that's going slower than you, and if you stay in the lane, your car slows down, and when you pull into the left lane, it speeds up again. That's awesome! But when it was really big, this thing not only had side cameras, but it had a side warning beeper. When you start moving over, beep, 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 because somebody's there. Awesome! You know? I need me one of those, you know, because I have blind spots. Let me tell you what. The scriptures, they help us with our blind spots in our lives. And we have this perception problem. So when he says, Lord, forgive me my hidden faults, start here. I want to be honest with you. I see all the information you've given me, but I want to acknowledge that I don't even perceive my own sin, my own struggles, my own going over the wrong way. And you got to help me. Help me. See that? That's the place to start. And to me, that's beautiful. Hey, we have a doing problem too. Not only does it say who can even discern his own errors, but verse 13 says, Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. We have a problem of doing, like James said, just don't hear it. Put it into action. If we put it into action, it's incredible how it'll change our lives, but we have a problem about doing. So since he has trouble with doing, he's again asking the Lord for help. Back when we first got this complicated copiers that we have in the office here, I can remember one day trying to copy some stuff and it wasn't working and I pushed all the wrong buttons and something broke. I had a doing problem. You know what I did? I called the 800 number on the inside of the machine that we had at the time. They called over a technician who came over to the office. I stood in there and showed him the machine that was broken. He took over all the rest. He opened the machine up, looked at it, called headquarters, got directions, went to his van, got the parts, put them in, fixed it, gave me the bill, and left. I got the copier fixed. I didn't fix it, but I got it fixed. And let me tell you, when we start realizing that we have a perception problem and a doing problem, we start talking to God about both those things. It's pretty amazing. We have this doing problem. You know, Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 7. I love his honesty. He said, I really want to do what's right, but I can't seem to do it. That sound like you? Sometimes that sounds like all of us. And so, what Jesus has promised for all who trust in him is that he sends another comforter, he called it, in the scriptures. When he was going to leave earth, he said, it's to your benefit that I go away. Because if I go away, I'll send a comforter to you. Another comforter. And the word another in the Greek means another of the same kind, right? So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about sending the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to work, to live in us, and to empower us to do. It is just really, really important. It's called the comforter. The Greek word is paraclete. You know what the word paraclete was used for? In Greek military, the soldiers always fought in pairs. And your partner in war and in fighting was called your paraclete. He went out with you to battle and covered your back and fought with you and for you. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, something miraculous has happened to you in that God Himself, the Holy Spirit, has moved into you. And he's there to help you and to help you to do. It's so important that we understand it. And we also have a core problem here too, I see. And you know, Roger Campbell always, I heard him quote this so many times. It was the cry of his heart, along with a simple prayer that he prayed every day that was beautiful too. This is what he would say. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. We got this core problem. Now he talks about the perception thing and the doing thing. It's all tied to the core problem, to the meditations of my own heart. When Jesus changes you, he changes you from the inside out. That's how he changes us. And in Hebrew literature, the last point is the most important point. We always start with, let me tell you, number one, baby, right? And we start with a big one and then go lower. In the Hebrews would start with stuff and build to the last point. And here he is now saying, I got this core problem, Lord. My lips are talking. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the lips, the mouth speaks. See, it's a core thing, right? And so he's saying, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, I mean the very core of me, be acceptable in your sight. I need my core changed. That is really something. So we all have a problem deep down. And it's very interesting when it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the word is literally, Lord, would you let this happen? I don't even seem to have the ability to make the choice. I need you. Would you let this happen to me? To me, that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. This whole dealing with the core problem. I watch these military jets fly, the big transport jets. And when we're in South Carolina, the Myrtle Beach Airport is also used for the military. And these great big transport jets arrive from overseas, and they usually come in north of us. They go down the coast, and I don't see how these things can stay in the air They are enormous. When Bugsy and I were at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California, they have Air Force One inside the building. It's awesome, you guys. It's an awesome place. If you ever get to California, you can do that. Any of the presidential libraries are absolutely fascinating. But here's this big jet inside. And it was only, I think, 727 is all it was. I mean, it's not like the super huge. But I remember just being near it because I've never like walked around big airplanes before. Man, that thing is huge. How does that get off the ground? I understand lift and all that stuff. But there's only one reason that thing ever got off the ground along with all these other things. I mean, they can pack those military transports with tanks and Humvees and everything else and fly those things to the other side of the world. You want to know why that can happen? Because those things have these humongous engines, these powerful engines that transport them. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you if you've trusted Christ. And it's time to begin trusting that power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to empower you to do what you're supposed to. You can't work that up. I mean, you can't work it up. Go south of Detroit a few weeks ago, Monroe, and there are those two big nuclear towers of Fermi 2, the nuclear plant, that supply all of us with our electricity. And I want you to notice, you can't store that electricity. We can't figure it out. We surely didn't produce it ourselves. But it's available to us. All we got to do is go over to the wall and flip on the light. Or, as grateful in these last few days, turn on the furnace, right? And the power is there, available, but a switch has to be flipped. You have to take that first step. You want to know how Peter walked on the water? Because he got out of the boat. He'd have never walked down the water to Jesus had he not got out of the boat. And we're called to get out of the boat, to flip that switch, to recognize we had a perception problem, a doing problem, and a core problem. And that this stuff matters. There's both warning and reward in all of this. This matters. This is about our lives. So what are we going to do? If you've never trusted the Lord, this first part of this psalm is so important to you because it talks about his existence, the clarity of his existence. The second of all tells us where we find the specific information, the scriptures, and then we talk about ourselves and how messed up we are. Where do we begin? We begin by taking a step of faith to Jesus that he died on a cross for me. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus promised it. So you got to take a step. Oh, it's nice to come. You come, hear sermons, you know, preachers talk, people talk, all that stuff. And then we just go home and we watch football. And we go away after looking at ourselves in the mirror and forget what we saw. It's time for you to take a leap. There was a picture that I saw that I thought was so cute. It was of three little boys jumping off a 20-foot cliff above a pond. And the three of them are jumping in, and somebody down on the edge of the pond took the picture of them as they jumped off. The first kid had his eyes clenched, and he is doing this while he's jumping, okay? Like, oh, gosh, I hope I survive, okay? This other kid is jumping off, and his eyes are, like, wide open, and his arms and legs are swinging all over because he's trying to keep his equilibrium while he's going down. That makes for a beautiful splash, doesn't it? Usually it's a smack, you know? Then there's a third kid. And this third kid is jumping off head first. His eyes are full of expectations and his hands are moving ahead. He's ready to meet the water, man. He can't wait. Here's the point. All three of those kids jumped. Two of them weren't too pretty, but they jumped. Don't worry about your posture when you leap and take the step of faith in Christ. Just take the leap. Okay? It doesn't matter if you look afraid or secure or none of that matters. Just jump. It's really important. You might say, well, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. You know, I've failed at a lot of things in life, and I'm just afraid I'll fail again if I trust Christ, if I trust the Lord, if I start making steps and doing what he says, I don't think I can fulfill it. Well, of course you can, but the power will be there for you to do it. I took Precious the Wonder Dog for a walk this morning. You know, the squirrels tremble in our neighborhood. Because she is on the case. get out of my yard. Get off my lawn. You know, I mean, that's what barking, if you knew what dogs were saying when they bark, that's what you'd hear. Get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. That's what you'd be saying. Man, the oak leaves have cut loose, haven't they? Holy cow. They are everywhere. I did my yard 3 times last week. I'm too old for this. Leaves are an amazing thing. You know, there is this amazing thing called photosynthesis, where leaves draw their nutrition from the sap in the tree. If they don't draw their nutrition from the sap in the tree, they die and they fall off. Or if the sap is cut off, they fall and, you know, die and all turn brown. Well, something happens when a leaf takes the nourishment of the sap. It creates a suction. And that suction is what draws more sap up the tree to the leaves. It's actually the drawing of the sap from the leaves that draw up more sap. Faith is like that. We have to take a leap, and when we take a leap, we're given more and given more faith and given more faith. Stop living in your fear. He told us the truth. He proved it by his own resurrection. He's absolutely honest. Paul calls him the God who cannot lie. He's telling you the truth. So, time for a decision. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? If you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you've just been listening to this stuff for a long time and not really made a decision about it, it's time for you to choose. Choose this day whom you're going to trust, right? So then why don't you say something to the Lord like, Lord Jesus, I am lost and I need you because you died for me, for my sin. You were raised from the dead and I believe it. But now I give my life to you and I invite you to come into me and save me. It's so simple. I know I'm giving you my words, my friend, but that's the sentiment. Tell him. Tell him. If you will trust him, you'll be born into his family today. Lord, there are many of us here that have trusted you, but we've trusted you and been discouraged with ourselves, and because of that, we've stopped trying. Lord, I ask that you would help us to take another step of doing the right thing that you've revealed to us so that we will then have more faith. Holy Spirit, we turn our lives over to you. You know the mess that we all are still, even though after trusting you, we all struggle, and we ask that you will have your way and your will in our lives. Thank you for this wonderful psalm. Thank you for the information it gives us at all of those levels. Transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.